But I do want to share with you thank you. I want to share with you an idea that is related, that's in this week's parsha, and it's related to something that was said this past Thursday night at Mishmar. In this week's parsha, of course, as you can see from the top, in this week's parsha, we have Yaakov fighting with an angel. It's a very interesting passage in the Chumash, and it's incredibly difficult to understand. I'm going to quote you Nechama Leibowitz. Nechama Leibowitz on this parsha, in other words, not on Vayishlach, but on the sugya of Yaakov fighting an angel, she says the following words. Omdim anu hapa'am. I think she said this in the beginning of one of her shiurim. We are now dealing with hapa'am bifnei achat. I don't have it in front of you. Omdim anu hapa'am bifnei achat haparshiot hakashot shebatorah. Parsha afufat mistorin. It's a parsha that is afafuni, right? From Hallel. Yeah. What? Yeah. I can't hear you. Yeah. But you're right. Yes, yafeh. Surrounded. I think the English in this case would be shrouded in mystery. Surrounded. Afafuni chavimavet from Hallel. Yafeh. This is a parsha that is surrounded in mystery. And I want to share with you a very fundamental, and I want to say simple, it's a very simple idea, fundamental, that's based on something from Rav Aryeh Hendler, who was the former Sgan Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivat Shalvim, and with some additions that I want to add, standing on his shoulders. Let's read through the psukim really quickly, because you know the psukim, and let's see what's going on here. What's a pshat? Whenever we're dealing with humans overlapping with angels, we're going to see a heavy overlap of drash and pshat, right? Both are going to overlap here. Not always, but with malachim they seem to. Here we go. And some of this became a song. Vayivater Yaakov levado. Yaakov is about to, after decades of running away from home, a whole new family situation, a whole new financial situation, a whole new military situation, confidence. It is time now to come back and get ready to meet up with his eternal adversary, his twin brother Esav. He's ready. He's done everything. He's davened. He's prepared for war, presents. The family's split up. He does everything. And now, Vayivater Yaakov levado, vayeyavek ish imo ad alot hashachar. He's alone, and he wrestles with the man up until daybreak. Vayar ki lo yacholo. There is a ton of, in English, I think it's called, is it called misplaced modifier? When you, if I say I was playing catch with Sarah and Rachel, and I threw the ball to her.
Yeah, what's that?
Wow! Wow! Is that true? That's really ambiguous antecedent. It's certainly ambiguous, but it's ambiguous antecedent.
Yeah, for some reason I learned
that. Tremendous. Ambiguous, I'm sorry. Ambiguous antecedent. Wow. Okay, I thought, why do I think it was called misplaced modifier? Are they both? Maybe one is an example of the other. Okay, anyway, so there's a lot of general pronouns and we don't know who we're talking about. Always. Vayar ki lo yacholo, and he saw that he could not conquer him. Vayiga b'chaf yerecho, and he touched his thigh, we'll say. Vateka kaf yerech Yaakov b'heavko imo. Oh, at the end of the pasuk, we're getting a little bit clearer, and something happens to his thigh because he was wrestling with him. Vayomer, and he said to him, Shalcheni ki ala hashachar, vayomer lo ashalaychacha, ki im berachtani, I'm not going to let you go until or unless you bless me. Vayomer elav mashmecha, vayomer Yaakov. He said, what's your name? And my name is Yaakov, so we know who's talking in this case. Right, ladies? Here we go. Vayomer lo Yaakov yeyamer od shimcha kiim Yisrael. You're not Yaakov anymore. You're called Yisrael. Ki sarita im Elokim v'im anashim batuchal. You fought. You fought with people. You fought with God, so to speak, and you are able. Vayishal Yaakov vayomer hagidem na shemecha vayomer lama zet yishal yishmi vayavarech oto sham vayikra Yaakov shem agmakom Pniel ki ra'iti Elokim panim el panim vatinatzel nafshi. God save me. Vayizrach lo Hashemesh ka'asher avaret Pnuel v'hut soleya al yerecho. Yaakov walks and he's limping. Al kein lo yochlu bnei Yisrael atgid hanashe asher al kaf hayarech ad hayom hazeh ki naga bechaf yerech Yaakov begid hanashe. The Rambam is very clear that the reason why we don't eat gid hanashe is because of the Torah on Har Sinai. It's a mitzvah in the Torah. So when we say the Pru Revu is the first mitzvah, when we say Gid HaNasheh, HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, these are all mitzvot, but they have to be repeated once the Torah is given. But we have some Shorshei HaMitzvah here. You and I, to this day, are not allowed to eat Gid HaNasheh because of something that happened so long ago with Yaakov and his angel. What is going on? Yaakov is left alone. And we have to look at these psukim one by one to figure out what's happening on a very, I think, a pshat level with the help, of course, of Torah Shebal Peh. Yaakov is left alone. He runs away from his brother. He runs away from his parents. He now runs away from his father-in-law. And he's alone. And despite being alone with his family, even in that case, he's alone from his family. He is mamash alone. If you have an idea, if you have some extra time, take a look at Ntivot Shalom. Of what vayivater means, to be alone, with himself, completely in solitude. And he runs away, and now it's time to confront this ish, whoever this ish is. This pshat, even the pshat, cannot mean a regular person. So it's got to be somebody different. Rashi says it was the Saroshel. Esav, Yafeh, Saroshel Esav. The Zohar says it was the Satan. The Medrash says it was a Malach, an angel. What is going on? What is the overlapping? Who is this Ish? He's Saroshel Esav, he's fighting Esav, he's fighting a Satan. Many other Mefarshim, the Kli Yakar, for example, says this is the Yetzer Hara. He's fighting himself. Now the Gemara does say that the Satan and the Yetzer Hara is all the same thing. This is, if I could say, according to the pshat of the drash, if there is such an expression, this is Yaakov fighting himself. This is Yaakov fighting himself. In English, we sometimes call it one's inner demons. Have you ever heard that expression? That's this, literally. If we call him the Satan, the Yetzer Hara, Saroshel Esav, these are Yaakov's inner demons. He was alone. How can you be alone and still fight with anybody else? There was nobody else to fight with. Yeah, he's alone fighting with himself. This entire parsha is going to be Yaakov struggling with himself. About what? So, take a look at two Gemaras, which in general you've seen before in your life, I would imagine. I want to see them inside. I'll read them as quickly as I can. One is a Gemara from Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Chet, and one is a Gemara from Masechet Shabbat, Daf Pei Chet, in the beginning of Pei Tet. These are two well-known and very important interactions between man and angels. What does it mean to fight one's angels? What does it mean to fight one's demons? Inner demons, so to speak. Let's take a look at the first Gemara, Sanhedrin Lamed Chet Amud Bet. The Gemara says like this. Oh, I'm sorry. In order to really understand why we're making that connection, we're going to follow the Rambam, which is the same as the Radak, which is the same as the Ralbag, which is the same as many other Mefarshim. I chose to quote the Rambam, but many other Mefarshim tell us the following. Kvar Bi'arnu, it's a second source. Kvar Bi'arnu from the Mor Nevuchim, the second Chelik of the Mor Nevuchim. Kvar biyarnu shekol makom shenizkar ri'iyat malach. Anytime it says in Tanakh, seeing an angel, o diburo, or the speaking of an angel, she'ein ze'ela b'mar'e ha'nevu'ah o b'chalom. It's some sort of dream slash nevuah. V'chol ha'avkut, and all struggles with angels. V'asicha halalu b'mar'eh ha'nevuah. So we're now going to merge time. It's not only Yaakov fighting his angels. This angel that is confronting Yaakov, who becomes Yisrael, is going to confront all of Bnei Yisrael till the end of time. In other words, this is the Nevuah. It's a Nevuah according to the Rambam, Radak, Ralbag, and many others. This is a Nevuah. This is what's going on. This is what's happening. The struggle all the way to Shalavim for Women, end of November 2014, beginning of Kislev, Tavshinayin Hay, and beyond. Your parents had the struggle, your grandparents, your teachers do, your children will. Wow, that's a big... What struggle? So again, we're going to see two examples of angels struggling with people, with man, and let's see if we can learn from those two stories, narratives, struggles, about how Yaakov struggled with his angels and how you and I can as well. Here we go. Amar Rav, it's line one from the Gemara Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Chet Amud Bet, Amar Rav. Again, as we begin reading the Gemara, a few light bulbs are going to go off as you all realize that you know this Gemara already. B'sha'a shebikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu livrot ata Adam. Line two. When God wanted to create the world, create people, create man. Barakat achat shel malachei asharet. He created a group of angels for the very purpose of Amar Lahem, line three. Ritzonchem na'aseh Adam b'tzalmeinu. What do you think? What do you think? Should we create man? Right, that pasuk sounds familiar. He created them just so to speak, to hear their response, and that you and I can learn from this response. Here we go. Na'aseh Adam b'tzalmeinu, middle of line two. Amru lefanav, ribono shel olam. Ma ma'asav. What's man going to be like? What's he going to do? Amar lahem kach v'kach ma'asav. This is what's going to happen. Man is going to be great and man is going to be terrible. Man is going to rise to the greatest heights and drop to the lowest lows. And they're going to sin and there's going to be tshuva. And there's going to be history. And there's going to be wars. And there's going to be peace. 6,000 years, angels. Listen to it all. It's a long history class. It's a future history class. Amru lefanav, after they heard the whole thing. Ribono shel olam, ma enosh ki tizkerenu uven adam ki tifkidenu. What's the point? What is man that we should remember him? Uven adam ki tifkidenu. No, God, don't create man. That's what you're creating man for? To have all these problems? Line five, hoshit etzba'ok tana b'nehem. God, whatever this means, if it wasn't in the Gemara, I wouldn't quote it. God stuck his little pinky out, v'sorfam, and he burned them up. How dare you insult mankind? Well, Wayne Gretzky hadn't been born yet, so that's why he didn't, you know. That's the wrong answer, angels. Well, the next set of angels learned much better. V'chein kat shniya. And exactly the same thing happened to the second group of angels. What do you guys think? He creates them. Should I create man? Well, what do they do? Here's what they do. No, God. Big mistake, God. Poof. Thank you. Next. Kach lishit. Amru lefanav. Well, finally, it was the third group of angels. They said to him, line six, Ribono shel olam. Rishonim she'amru lefanacha mahu ilu kol ha'olam kulo shelchahu kol ma she'ata rotze la'asot ba'alamcha asei. End of line 7, the third group of angels said, listen, the first group, they got burned. The second group, they got burned. We're not going to answer. Oh yeah, God, it's your world. Go do it. God says, great. That's what I'm going to do. He creates man. End of line 7. Kevan shehigia le'anshei dor hamabul v'anshei dor haflaga shema'aseihen mekul kalin. Okay, he creates Adam HaRishon, he creates Chava. He could get all the way to Parshat Noach, not very far, into the Chumash, and Dor HaMabul and Dor HaFlaga happened, and the third group of angels come to God and say, Amru Lufanav, Ribono Shel Olam, Lo Yafe Amru Rishonim Lufanecha? God, weren't they right? I mean, we didn't say anything because we didn't want to get burned. But weren't they right? They were right. Look at this. You created man, and all they gave you has been headaches since then. And says God, Amar Lahen. Says God, it's a pasuk in Tehillim. It's a pasuk in Yishayahu. In Yishayahu Memvav. V'ad, the pasuk is like this. V'ad zikna, ani hu. V'ad seiva, ani esbol. Rashi on the pasuk in Yishayahu says, it's Yishayahu Memvav. That Rashi on that pasuk says, I am God, and I, from beginning and end of time, I will always accept. Esbol literally means suffer. But I'm okay with it. Rashi says that I'll use, even when you're old, says God. This is the way Rashi understands the pasuk. Even when you're old, you're still going to have the zechut, and I'm still going to support you. Even when you're old, and you've made all the mistakes in the world, says God, I'm still going to be with you. That's story number one. Should we create man? No. Bad answer. Should we create man? No. Bad answer. Why should you? Should we create man? Yes, God. By the time we get to the third, Dor HaMabul, Dor HaFlaga, see that, God? They were right. Hashem says, no, they were not. Even with the mistakes, even with the sins, even with the Mabul, even with the whole Dor HaFlaga, I still am correct, and I'll still accept them, no matter what mistakes they make. Keep that Gemara in mind, and move to the next Gemara, Masechet Shabbat, a little longer. I'll see how far we can go with our time, but I just want to, because I don't want to go back to the Psukim. This claim, the angels confront God, in these two Gemaras, we'll see the second one in a moment. They confront God and they say, man is so physical, so base, so mistake prone, that they should not have been created. And God fights and says that's untrue. They deserve not to be created, and Hashem says they deserve. Even when things are bad, they still deserve to have been created. And now the next Gemara. The Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, line 1, to the bottom of Daf Pecher Amud Bet in Masechet Shabbat. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, that's the abbreviation. Bisha'ah, you definitely know this. Bisha'ah she'ala Moshe la'marom amru. I'm sorry, amru malachei asharet, line 2, lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ribono shel olam. So here we are, angels, arin shamayim, I don't even know what that means. And they're with God, whatever that means. And here we have Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu is a phenomenal figure. Look, when we get there, we should get there in Mirtz Hashem, when the time is right, we'll get to beginning of Sefer Shmot and Parshat Shmot, and you're going to see Moshe Rabbeinu. And look at the two lives that Moshe Rabbeinu leads. And Chazal points out both of them, and the Torah points out both of them. On the one hand, Moshe Rabbeinu is supernatural. When he cried like a young man, right? When he was born, remember that? When he was first seen in the basket, yes? Rashi tells us, the Gemara tells us. We know that when he died, when he was born, the whole house lit up with lights. Never heard of that before, miraculous. He was also born in the 7th month in those days. Maybe some of you were, but in those days, that never happened. And yet, the Torah makes it great detail that this is a regular human being. Born from a man and a woman, and he can make a mistake now and again, and he can get angry now and again, according to the Rambam and by in Chukat, and other mistakes perhaps, and he's a human being, and human beings are born, and human beings die, and he dies, and we're not going to shy away from the fact that he dies, and so in other words, so we see that he's mortal also, okay. And here we are now, this mortal man goes up to Har Sinai, doesn't eat and drink for 40 days. So the angels see this new guest coming to Har Sinai, and they say, Ribono shel olam, middle of line 2, Ma li yelod isha beinenu. What is this yelod isha? What does that mean? what is this, quote, born of a woman, end quote, doing up here? What's born from a woman mean? A human being, a plain old regular human being. What's he doing up here? Amar lahen, I'm going to go quickly. Amar lahen lekabel Torah ba. Line 3. He's getting the Torah. Amru lefanav chamuda. Sometimes you're called chamuda. The thing that is so precious. Genuza. The hidden treasure. Shegenuza lecha teisha mi'ot v'shivim v'arba dorot. We're going to have to come back to what that means, but not today. This precious treasure that's been hidden for 974 generations. Kodem shenivra ha'olam. Ata mevakesh likna lebasar v'adam. Why would you do that? And look at the pasuk that's quoted, the end of line 4. Ma enosh kitiz kerenu ven adam kitiz gedanu. Hashem Adonenu ma adir shimcha b'chol ha'aretz asher tzna hodcha al ha'shamayim. Beginning of line 6. That's a pasuk that's quoted from our Gemara that we just learned a minute ago, from Sanhedrin. What's he doing here? Humans don't belong up here. You're going to give the Torah to a plain old human being? That's outrageous. Amar lo hakadosh baruch hu lemoshe. Hashem doesn't answer the angels. Hashem says to Moshe, nu, hichzir lahem tshuva. In this case, Hashem says, Moshe, fight the good fight. This is a man versus angels argument. Moshe, do you deserve the Torah? Let's go. This is man versus angels. Amar lufanav. Okay, Moshe steps up to the podium, adjusts the microphone, and he says, line 7, Ribono shel olam mityareani, shema yisrafuni bahevel shebefihem. How could I answer? They're going to burn me up. Amar lo echoz bekisei kvodi v'chazor lehen tshuva. Shenamar, etc. I'm skipping a little bit. Now I'm going to go to line 9 at the end. Hashem says, "Don't worry, I'll save you. I'll guard you." Amar lefanav. Okay, Moshe's ready to answer. End of line 9. Ribono shel olam, Torah she'ata notein li ma katuv ba. Line 10. Okay, Hashem, I'm ready to answer, but you got to give me some information. What's written in the Torah? So Hashem answers, Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzeiticha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Amar Lahem. So Moshe turns to the angels. Everybody with me? Moshe turns to the angels. Amar Lahem. Le'mitzrayim Yeradatem. Did you go down to Mitzrayim? Le'faro Hishtabatem. Did you get enslaved to Paro? Torah lama tehei lachem. Why do you need the Torah? Torah is written for us. Shuv maktiv ba. Line 11. Hashem says, lo yelacha Elohim achirim. You cannot have other gods. Moshe turns to the malachim and says, end of line 11. Bein amim atem shruyim. Do you live among non-Jews? She'ovdim. And now I'm in line 1 because now we switched to Pei Tzedek and Aleph. Shruyim she'ovdim avodah gelilim. Do you live among non-Jews and they serve idols and you have to have this mitzvah of don't serve idols? There's a great Yetzer Hara to serve and we need to have a mitzvah against that. You don't live with there. Line 1, the new line 1. Shuv maktiv ba zachor et yom ha-shabbat lekadcho. Moshe turns to the angels and says, klum atem osim melacha shatem shichim shvut? Do you even do melacha on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? That you need a shvut? You need to rest Shabbat on Shabbos? It's not for you, it's for us. We're still going. Line 3. Shuv maktiv ba, lo tisa. You're not allowed to lie or steal. Masau matan yesh b'neichem. What, do you do business? That you have to worry about robbing and stealing? Next. Shuv ma, and lying falsely? Line 4. Shuv maktiv ba, kabel et avicha v'et imecha. Av v'aim yesh lachem. You have parents that you have to... On and on and on. Line 6. Shuv maktiv ba, lo tirtzach, lo tinaf, lo tignov. Says line 7. Moshe says, kina yesh b'neichem? Where you have jealousy? Yetzer hara yesh b'neichem? Here we go. Miyad hodu lo le'akadosh baruch hu, shenemar Hashem Adonenu, ma adir shimcha, etc. You're right. And The rest, as they say, is history. The Torah was given. We have two stories. We have two incidents. We have two examples. In short, man's confrontation with Malachim, man's confrontations with one's inner demons, is a confrontation with his own limitations. It's a confrontation with his own limitations, with his physicality, with his inability to live up to the goals of creation, with his inability, the challenge is to live, is to whether he can or cannot live up with the plan of creation. Angels say, why are you creating man? Angels say, why are you giving man the Torah? They do not deserve it. In the case before man was created, it was Hashem doing the battle. Once man is created, who does the battle? Man himself is confronted on a regular basis. You are not good enough. You're not good enough. You are not as good as the angels. And that, as we come back to our parsha, is perhaps exactly what the angel was trying to tell Yaakov. You cannot do it. He was trying to instill within Yaakov a sense of self-doubt. And therefore, right before the historic battle, Maaseh Avot Siman Labanim, and by the way, another talk for another time, who else met with an angel before an historic battle? Yahushua Yafemeod. It's not a coincidence. We don't even use that word. Oh, isn't that amazing? Right before another historic, cataclysmic, physical encounter, an angel comes along and says, you can't do this. This is an angel's job. And Yaakov here too. Right before the historic battle with Esav and everything that Esav stands for, Esav, the Esav inside Yaakov, the inner demons fight. And Yaakov fights back. And Yaakov is not broken. Yaakov fights until the end. Pasuk Chavav, Vayar ki lo yacholo. Not only is Yaakov not broken, Yaakov is strengthened through this fight. He knows that man, take a look, if you've never seen this pasuk in Zechariah, it's right after the last Gemara. He knows that man has the ability to not be as good as the angels, to be greater than the angels. Take a look at this pasuk in Zechariah, Perek Gimel. Vayaad malach Hashem b'Yehoshua lemor. And Yehoshua, an angel of Hashem, warns Yehoshua, Ko amar Hashem tzvakot, im bidrachai telech, v'im mishmarti tishmor, v'igam ata tadin et beiti, v'igam tishmor et chatzerai. If you do everything you're supposed to do, guard my Torah, guard my mitzvot, protect the Beit HaMikdash, do everything you're supposed to do, v'natati lecha mehalchin bein ha'omdim ha'elech. You will be a mehalech. An angel can't walk. An angel is static, both physically. How many legs does Yechezkel tell us an angel has? One, you can't walk with one leg. You stand still. You and I emulate them three times a day. But really, that's physical, physically so. But really, it's also spiritually so. Static. An angel is a computer. That's all he is. He does what he is told perfectly. A human is a mehalech. We heard a Dvar Torah this week. No, we heard a Dvar Torah. When did we hear the Dvar Torah about the escalator? Who told the escalator Dvar Torah? Oh, ladies, my memory. Come on, jet lag. Somebody told the Dvar Torah about the escalator. What? Oh, she didn't want to say. Yeah, during lunch. During dinner. Thursday night dinner. Yishako achel. Thank you. That's right, that's right, that's right. Mehalchim. We can go, we can move. You don't have to be an omeid. Yaakov is fighting and he was strengthened. And he said, guess what? You're right. I'm not as good as the angels. I'm better. I'm better. Keep going. Keep going. That's amazing. So, it is true. He fights and he realizes that he can't beat him and he can't beat him. Remember I talked about, well, I talked about misplaced modifiers. Other people talked about ambiguous antecedents. So could I. There's a reason for that. There's a reason why there's this ambiguous and he and he and he and he. He's the he. He's the him. It's the internal struggle. And he says, I don't know. Can I? Yes, you can. I'm not good enough. Yes, you are. You can't do it. I can do it. Yes, you can. Keep going. And this angel, this whatever we call him, this inner demon, this malach, this nevuah, this chalom, knows that Yaakov is struggling. The angel hits him, not just to win the battle, it gives Yaakov a physical, a permanent physical reminder of his own physicality. You and I to this day are reminded of that. For the rest of his life, Yaakov will limp, and for the rest of time, you and I will remember that limp. We struggle. It's not a simple thing. We're not malachim, we don't want to be. Anyway, it looks like as soon as the angel touches him in that way, it looks like the angel will win. And Yaakov, it seems like Yaakov's self-doubt, and it seems like Yaakov's inadequacies are going to succeed. And then, Vayomer Shalcheini ki Allah Hashachar. And then the angel says, well, wait a second, my time is up. The battle of hesitation, the battle of perhaps inadequacies, the battle of loss of self-confidence is only a nighttime battle. It's only a battle for nighttime when things are really not clear, when we're not thinking clearly, when we're not seeing things clearly. We've talked in the past about the Yatziv V'Nachon versus Emunah Kol Zot. The nighttime is called Erev, when it's all Irbuvia. Dark is light, light is dark. You ever see a car drive by? You don't know if it's blue, you don't know if it's black. Remember the rods and cones, AP Bio? Right, remember that? Why we see shades of gray more at nighttime? Things are gray. But the angel is definitely not going to win when the clarity of daytime comes back. And once light comes, clarity comes. And that's why he says, Vayomer Shalcheini ki Allah Shachar. And then he says, no, I'm not going to. Vayomer lo ashalechacha ki im berachtani. I need a bracha. I need a bracha. Time is running out. What is a bracha? Yaakov received a bracha, has received brachot, and he also in Vayechi gives brachot. He was the first person who had the zechut of to get sick and know that his end was coming. And so therefore he was able to share a bracha. Look at the very last source. Kol Eile Shivtei Yisrael Shnei Masar V'zot Asher Diber Lahem Avihem V'yavarech Otam Ish Asher Kibir Chato Beirach Otam. What is a bracha? Yaakov himself knows what a bracha is. A bracha is simply the exposing, the revelation, the hope of that person's ability and potential. That's all a bracha is. You go to a tzaddik to get a bracha, it's because it's what's in you. It's what you're able to do. That's why al tahi birkat hedyot kalabeinacha, regular people can give bracha too. Because they have the ability sometimes to see something you don't see. I'll tell you a very quick story. When I had the zechut of being a sandik, you know what a sandik is? Sandik is to hold a baby when he's having his bris. Now, I'm not really a blood kind of person. I've only witnessed four in my life before that time. And it's no coincidence that I have four sons. Every other time I go to a bris, this is the trick, ladies. You have to stand close enough so you're part of the simcha, but you have to stand behind somebody else. And you have to make it seem like, ah, I wish I could see, but all right, someone's standing here. And then he has the audacity to turn around and say, oh, am I in your way? I'll move, I'm sorry. And I go, oh, I move also behind him. No, I still can't, oh. And then someone says, you take pictures. I try to be a Baal Chesed, but the answer is no. I mean, really no. Unless you want pictures of the ceiling after I faint and of the hospital hallway as I'm being wheeled in. Other than that, if you want those pictures, that's fine, until I lose consciousness. Anyway, so I really wasn't sure, but I decided, okay, yes, I'm doing it. And it was a zechut, zechut, zechut with my cousin's son, very close to my cousins. When I was in the army, my aunt and uncle adopted me. I was a chayel bodeid, and they lived in their home, and he was a little baby, and I saw him. Anyway, so now he has his own child, and it was a big, big zechut. What he didn't tell me is that, I knew it, but I kind of forgot it, is that the sandik in certain communities gives brachot. Okay, so I didn't realize that. I forgot that. And they said, oh, you know, they're going to give you're going to ask for bracha. And I thought, like, one person, bracha, bari pri adama, you know, it's easy. But anyway, so this, it happens. Hashem was with me. I stayed conscious for almost all of it. And then, I stayed for all of it. You were wondering if I was unsafe. You know, I was totally fine, and I looked. I watched, actually. And then it's over, Baruch Hashem, and they line up for brachot. Now, we talked just now about how bracha is ish kevirkato beirachotam. A bracha is for you. It's unique, your potential. Yaakov knew that. And so he said to the angel, what's my bracha? So anyway, they were standing in line. They expected me to say, you know, I don't know, some Yiddish, and move on. Well, they were Sephardi, so no Yiddish. But anyway, I didn't do that. And every single person who came to me, they were laughing because it took forever. I didn't eat. But I didn't apologize. A bracha is a bracha. And if it's coming from the heart, it's coming from the neshama, I have to know who I'm talking to. So every single person who came to me, I did two things. First of all, I quoted the bracha, the Gemara, which I just quoted to you now. Al tehei birkat hejot kalabei necha. I said, you're getting a bracha just from a regular person. And just realize that. And then I said, what's your name? And what do you want? Who are you? And I had to get to know each person. I didn't eat. I just kept, everybody kept lining up. And I found out a woman was pregnant. She hadn't told her parents yet. Let's see. I found Shiduchim, Parnasa. A woman was about to give birth. It should be, I think she did tell her parents. It should be an easy birth. And each one, a specific bracha, to the best of my ability. I'm not a, you know, Navi. I just, whatever, are you telling me? I ask you, what do you want? An easy pregnancy? Well, here we go. I can do my best. I'm just trying to bring out the potential. You just said it, so I'm just giving you that bracha back. Anyway, that's what a bracha is. And they were all laughing at me that I should hire myself out as a sandik because the bracha was so long, but it was specific to each person. But no one has answered my help wanted ads. Anyway, so this is what Yaakov wanted to know. What am I? What's my potential? So we struggled, and the daytime came, and clarity came, and I've got this permanent reminder. So now what? But the angel did not answer right away. Vayomer elav mashemecha. That's exactly what a bracha is. What's your name? What is your identity? How do you identify yourself? How do you see yourself in this world? You learn so much when someone just says, you know, hi, what's your name? I'm sorry. Or, hey, I'm John, what's your name? You know, that's two different ways. Hi, I'm John, I'm Tova's brother. You know, just what is your name? By the way, Havdil, Elef Alfei Avdalot, we don't want to compare things that shouldn't be compared, but for the sake of illustration, that's exactly when we say Aseh Laman Shemecha about God. It's for a future shir. But Shem Hashem is God, so to speak, in parentheses, in quotations, God's reputation in this world. We want God to be perceived properly. Okay, I'll give you a bracha. What's your name? Okay. Vayomer Yaakov. I am Yaakov. I am the one, who has been at the heels of Esav my whole life. Since the day I was born, literally since my birth, I am the one who has been chasing the heel of Esav. That's me. I'm Yaakov. I am born second. I was holding on to Esav's heel, and I am still holding on to Esav's heel, and I know about struggles in this world, about the Yaakov in this world. I'm the one who saw the angels going up and down, but I'm also the one who fights with love on Ba'olam Hazeh. That's me. I'm Yaakov. Yaakov still views himself as Yaakov. That views himself as bogged down. He still views himself exactly as the one, the thing, that the angel accuses him of. But the angel says that's not true anymore. Vayomer lo Yaakov yeyamer od shimcha ki im Yisrael. You have this morning shed the Yaakov name. You're not Yaakov anymore. You're Yisrael. Ki sarita im Elokim v'im anashim v'tuchal. You are Yisrael. You struggled and you won. You fought. You're not the Yaakov anymore. You're not second fiddle anymore. You're not the at the heels of your brother. You are Yisrael. You can do it. The nighttime struggle is over. You can do this. And Yaakov says back to him, Vayish'al Yaakov Vayomer Hagida Na Shemecha. Okay, who are you? Vayomer Lama Zeh Tishal Lishmi Vayevarech Oto Sham. I don't have a unique identity. I don't have a unique identity. I am whatever you make me. Why are you asking me my name? You know my name. Last night when we started fighting, my name was huge, my name was big, my name was strong, my name was insurmountable. Today, I don't even have a name. I don't even have a name. Why are you asking me my name? I don't even have a name. I do not have a separate identity. I am really only in the dark. I am the confusion. I am in your mind. I'm in your heart. When you welcome me, and when you fight me in the morning, I don't exist. And today we gain strength from Yaakov's fights. You and I struggle with this on a regular basis. Am I who I am supposed to be? Who am I who I am supposed to be? Am I as great as the angels? Am I worse? Am I better? Are we chalila v'chas part of the accusations of the malachim? Why did this person get the Torah? Why does she learn? What, or are we the opposite? Are we in the descendants of the Moshe Rabbeinus of the world? That we say, I can do it. I have a name of Yisrael. We are not B'nai Yaakov. We are B'nai Yisrael. As a group and as individuals. And yes, we are reminded daily in our own struggles. And yes, we are reminded daily in the food that we eat and the food that we don't eat. But we are B'nai Yisrael. And whenever Yisrael remembers that we can win, whenever B'nai Yisrael individually in a group remembers that we can surmount our own limitations, our own physicality, and remember that we're linked to the original Yisrael, then we really too can be Mehalchim. We are no longer Omdim. We are no longer static. We are mobile in the world of growth. And there is a reason why every text you've ever received before Shabbos is always a bracha of growth-filled. You want to have a growth-filled day and a growth-filled Shabbat and a growth-filled life. We are growing. We are moving. We are not standing still. Mitzvah Hashem by all of us. Have a good evening, everybody.